Good morning, church. Firstly, I praise God. I thank God for giving me this opportunity to serve in this way in humility. And I also like to thank Pastor Llewellyn and Pastor V for the opportunity, you know, for the pulpit to allow the Holy Spirit to use me as a vessel to share what He's put on my heart. Before we get into it, I'd also like to just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for bringing us here. Each and every one of us here is here for a reason, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray, Lord, that there may be that you may help them focus on what you're saying, Lord, whatever it is, whether it's relevant to what I'm speaking about or not. I pray, Lord, that you can help them meditate on what you're putting on their heart right now, and how they can press into you going into the following week on what you're building right here, Lord. And we trust you, Lord, for that. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, in order for our character to change, it's not so much about doing good actions or good deeds. Rather, the focus is simply relying on God. Because there's a verse in John 15, verse 5 that mentions that Jesus is the vine and that we are the branches. The branches are connected to the vine. And so what happens is, because God is the vine, Jesus is the vine, He's pruning our character, and the outflow of that are those fruits, are those good actions and good deeds. So the focus is God pruning our character, and the outflow are the fruits. And that comes from a relationship of us abiding in God and God abiding in us. It's because God abiding in us that He can prune us and there can be fruits. But now the question becomes, how do we rely on God? Like, how do we abide on God? So that's what we'll be speaking about. So the verses we'll be looking at is Philippians chapter 2. We'll be doing verse 1 to 4 in this section. So I'll give you time to get there. Father, started? Okay. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. It says in verse 1 to 4. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So, yes, that is the biblical foundation. We'll be focusing on many of these verses. Firstly, as servants of the Lord, our job is to imitate Christ's humility. This whole chapter speaks about what Christ has done in humility. Came from, you know, the scripture mentions how he was, in the heavens, and then it made himself a little lesser than the angels, to humble himself, to become a servant, to serve. We saw him wash the disciples' feet. That's what this whole chapter is speaking about. The essence is humility, right? Earlier we asked, how do we rely on God? I'll be going the direction of serving through humility. And here are some examples. So, in my own life, I have struggles with pride, right? It keeps popping up. I pray into it. I ask God to sanctify me. And there's been much improvement by the grace of God. It's not me. Praise the Lord. But that's still a thing that pops up. Now, verse 3, if you go to verse 3, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself, right? So one thing that I do when I come to a situation where I'm having a hard time, let's say, loving someone because my pride wants to take over. One thing that I do, and this is what the Holy Spirit has put in my heart, is to practice verse 3, to consider others more significant than myself. I would repeat that. I would say, Lord, I consider that person more significant than myself. And maybe the first time you might not believe it. So you might need to repeat it over and over again because certain characters, it can be difficult to say it once. So there's a thing that Jesus did on the mountain when he was being tempted by Satan. He used scripture as a sword of the spirit to fight against these temptations. And in my example is pride. I use scripture as the sword of the spirit, as it says in Ephesians, to fight against this pride. I use scripture, to fight, because that's what Jesus did, right? So relying on God is saying, I cannot get over this pride myself. Relying on God is saying, Lord, your word says I should consider this person more significant than myself. So you start using that, you start applying it in your life. That's you relying on God. That's you being in a state where, Lord, I cannot do it by myself. I need you. And that's a practical example of, that's how you can serve. That's how you can use scripture, right, to rely on God. Now, yes, because you cannot do it alone. For example, if let's say a colleague at work is also giving you a hard time and this can be true in many different contexts, but if they're giving you a hard time, a practical way of showing this, right? It's not just using scripture, but it's an action of Lord, I'm gonna, this person that's making it very difficult to love, this person that's making it very difficult to humble myself, Lord, I rely on you, right? So the focus isn't trying to fix it in your own strength or trying to do it in your own strength. The focus is, it's between you and God saying, Lord, I cannot love this person with my own strength. Lord, help me, right? So that's a practical way by serving, right? So you can maybe help them with whatever the work they have, whatever work it is, you can serve, because serving others is an opportunity to grow, right? When you serve others, you're humbling yourself. You're not trying to block them off in unforgiveness. When you serve others, it's an opportunity to grow, especially when it's difficult to love. Especially when it's difficult to love. That's where there's growth, through the difficult things. So, but then you cannot do it by yourself. You rely on God through using scripture. Amen. So now, when we rely on God and he prunes our character, because it's God changing our character and the fruits are love, servitude, humility, that character change lasts. Because God is eternal, what he does is going to have an eternal, you know, because that's God. That's what he does. He doesn't just do something for a quick fix. He's God. He wants to change you, right? So that character change, when you rely on God and he prunes you, that's the character change that lasts. And those are the fruits that you want coming out, right? It can only be from God. So, yes. Another benefit of relying on God is it can affect your surroundings. So here's an example. There was a guy at I was gymming. I was listening to music at the time with my headphones, and this guy was wearing a Christian shirt. I assumed he was a Christian. Doesn't necessarily mean he's a Christian, but I just assumed this guy's a Christian. He's wearing headphones and he looked like he was listening to a podcast. Now, this guy just serving God, to me, that something stirred in me to, like, you know what, let me stop listening to this music. And let me put on a podcast, right? Something different. It felt actually very refreshing because I never usually do that. So I listened to this podcast. It's a Christian guy speaking about productivity. And that led me to buy his book. And that I finished his book in like 3 weeks, right? It was really good. It was a really good book. And that greatly blessed my life. Now, the whole reason why I'm sharing this story is that someone serving God, he didn't even know I was looking at him, caused me to focus on God in a different way. And that blessed me, and it's still blessing me, because I was seeking productivity and trying to do things on my own strength, trying to do things according to like the self-help tips and tricks the world gives. But what God has been teaching me this year is rely on God, and He will sanctify you. He will prune you. And that character change will lead to fruit of productivity. You're going to realize, or you're going to have the state of, okay, I don't like the idea of wasting time anymore. What the fruit is productivity. It's not you chasing the fruit. It's you're relying on God, and He will help you be, you know what I mean? That's the benefit of just serving God. People can see that. People see the fruit. There's a verse in Galatians that mentions Saul, like Galatians 1:23-24. It says Saul, who used to kill and persecute the church, he changed, obviously, became Paul. And now they're seeing him praise God. They're seeing him preach the gospel. And they're seeing this change in Paul. And they said, verse 24 says, they have glorified God because of me, because of what they've seen, the change. Not that I'm the hero, not that I'm the reason why they're glorifying God, but the change, the fruit that God has done in us caused others to glorify God, right? So this idea that, or this fact that when we serve God, when we fully rely on God, the fruit that we have that's only from God will cause others to glorify Him. That's amazing, right? And then there's also a reality of actively going out and you know, showing your fruit to the world in a way, because yeah. But that's really just God. We just rely on the Holy Spirit and we actively preach the gospel and all of that. So relying on God can be beneficial in changing our environment, because people are watching. We don't do it because people are watching, but we do it because God is our focus, and that's just a byproduct. You know what I mean? So yeah. Okay. There's also another example that happened to me recently at work. It was, there was a celebration. There was like a food. I even forgot what it was, but we went out to eat as a company, and we were celebrating something. I think there were deadlines. That's why I don't remember. So at this dinner, or at this lunch we were at, one of my colleagues, he saw this pursuit that I had in Christ in the company. I'm like known as like the Christian guy. Glory to God. Anyway, he asked me, he saw me, he was like, man, how do I get to that point? How do I become righteous? And my first thought was, it's not me. I did nothing. So I told him, like, you cannot do it alone. You can't do it in your own strength. I told him you cannot do it alone, right? In the moment, it didn't lead to much. The conversation quickly faded. But a couple weeks later, this happened like this week. But a couple weeks later from that moment, this week, he was like, listen, man, I've been thinking about what you said, how like that I cannot do it alone. Can you expand on that? He asked me. So it's interesting to see how just by pursuing God, people can ask questions about God, because now they're interested, right? I want to paint this picture of me, I'm serving God. Not that I'm trying to show people that I'm serving God, that we're not Pharisees, but I'm serving God, right? People are watching, and then they're glorifying God because they're seeing what God is doing, the change in my life. And now they come to God. And now whoever was in their life, they're seeing this change that this person had. And then they're coming to God. So is this like effect that it's just affecting the environment. That's what the good news does. This world is full of bad news everywhere. When you see good news, it's different. And that's that we thank him. We thank Christ for dying on the cross, our sins, and raising on the third day, because there's this reality that we can change, and it's not from our strength, it's from God. And this change lasts. This change has fruit. And that's just wonderful. So that's one of the other benefits of relying on God. So God prunes our character. What outflows are those fruits. And people see that and glorify God. That's that. And that can repeat as the environment sees that. Okay. So, but the world isn't perfect, right? There's going to be issues that arise. How do I have the heart and mind of servitude? Because that's the practical, that's a practical way of serving God, like practicing this relying on God, right? So when issues arise, how do I have the heart and mind of servitude? Is a question you can ask yourself. And here are a couple of things that I'd like to just point out. Observation, right? Observe whenever any issue arises, whether it's a conflict, whether you receive bad news from somewhere, or maybe it's an internal prideful thing like me. In those situations, I would observe how I feel. I would observe how I think. Two, I would ask why I feel that way or why I think that way. And three, which is very important, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Right? Because this is how we rely on God. What would Jesus do? Instead of trying to come up with our own solutions, which is very common, but saying, what would Jesus do? Right? So, yes. An example that I want to give on this would be when I was driving with my girlfriend, and there was this, you know, insecurity that I had in me. It was, you know, as a man, I should know where I'm going, right? That's what I'm thinking to myself. As a man, I should know where I'm going. And she was directing me, and the insecurity was saying, I should know where I'm going. Like, yeah. So it was very, I was annoyed. Basically, I was annoyed that she was directing me. And in that moment, I by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, I started observing to see, okay, I feel annoyed. To why do I feel annoyed? And I didn't know the why. So then I just kept quiet. I allowed her to direct me. I humbled myself, show me where to go. At the end of that, I by God's grace, I saw that I was acting in patience, right? But it's not for me. It wasn't for me. And that's what Jesus would do. He would be patient. Not that he would feel annoyed. I don't think Jesus would have that. But in my case, the Holy Spirit led me to be patient. And so the whole point of me saying this is relying on God can be, okay, Lord, I'm annoyed right now. Your flesh maybe wants to speak out and say, nah, let me put it on Google Maps. I got this. But patience can be like, Lord, I humble myself. I'm considering the interests of others. Maybe she just wants to help. Maybe she just wants to, you know, be involved in that way. I should allow her. I shouldn't block her off. That's not good for a relationship. I should allow her to help me. At the moment, I didn't see it like that, but my humility, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you rely on God. You may not realize the fruit of what you're doing, but because you're relying on God and he's pruned your character, later on you realize, oh, the Holy Spirit helped me act in patience, and I prevented acting or projecting my insecurity. And I didn't even realize that's what I was doing in the moment. It's just a lifestyle of relying on God. So you may forget all these points of observing how you think, how you feel, asking why do I feel like this. And you may forget all of this, but that the point is, when you rely on God, That becomes, you know, a thing. That becomes a thing, a natural thing in you. Especially when you read scripture, you see what Jesus has done. It becomes easier to remember. The Holy Spirit reminds you of how do I rely on God? How do I serve others in these moments, you know? So, yeah.
Okay.
So I'd like to read Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11, if we can page there. And there's a verse I want to focus on, but we'll get there. So verse 5 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Earlier, I mentioned how this whole chapter speaks about what Christ has done in humility, the example of humility that we see. In verse 7, it speaks on that. It says, "But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." So, in these moments where there's conflicts, sometimes you want to be in the right. Right, in let's say there's an argument, we want to be in the right. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a natural human instinct. But we see here in this example, Christ emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So we may feel like when we're in the right, we have this power, like, oh yeah, like I know what I'm talking about, whatever it is. But to follow this example is like saying, Lord, I could be wrong. I could be wrong in this conflict, in this argument. So help me see it from this perspective of humility, right? That's a way of relying on God in these arguments to say I could be wrong, and then you're hum and then you start seeing certain things of how you could have did better, and then it just becomes better for whatever conflict or whatever the argument is. So yeah, this whole example, this whole chapter of humility is very blessed. So, coming to a close, serving others is a direct way of practicing humility, right? We humble ourselves to God by humbling ourselves to humans. There's a scripture that mentions God is saying, "You didn't feed me, you didn't clothe me." And the people were like, "God, when were you there for us to feed you? When were you there for us to clothe you?" And he was saying, "I was the person on the street, I was the person in the hospital." So we serve God by serving people, right? That's the practical, that's the practical of humility, right? Because if you want to make a change in ourselves, we rely on God, and that we spoke about relying on God will cause us to have the fruits to go out and get to the people, get to our environment, and we share the gospel, we share the good news. It all comes from a state of relying on God as God sanctifies us. So relying on God, only through him can your character change, and only through him can there be fruit as an outflow out of that character change. And you can practice all of this in humility by serving. Thank you.
Awesome. Amen and amen. For his first sermon, I think it went very, very well. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father, thank you that we can hear your word and reflect on Jesus, who you are and what you did in the thing to be grasped, that the God of heaven would step into earth, step into our realm, step into our woes and our difficulties, entering the world not as a king, but as a servant, not as someone who has power and status in the human sense, but as God humbled himself and lived a life free of sin to set the perfect example for us, through who we can come to the Father and be changed. I pray, Jesus, that act of complete humbleness that you did for us, may we accept it into our lives and live it out, knowing that if Jesus humbled himself, who am I to hold back? If Jesus humbled himself to wash disciples' feet, who am I to do anything less? In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. It was interesting. I think it was one of the disciples. I can't remember who. I think it was Peter, but I could be terribly wrong. One of the disciples, when he was sentenced to be crucified, he said, "I am not worthy to be crucified the same way that Christ was crucified." And they crucified him upside down, as a symbol that, yes, we are suffering because Jesus suffered, but I'm not worthy to even come closely to what Jesus did. If you're going to kill me for my faith, please just don't do it the same way. Do me less. And that's just something that is stirring in me this morning, that as we walk, we keep our eyes on Jesus as we navigate this life, because Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when we ask, who is our neighbor? It's everyone. It's everyone you meet. It's everyone you speak to. Everyone is your neighbor. That we love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's something to ponder on as we grow in humility. Be blessed. I bless you in the name of Jesus. May it be well with your soul. May it be well with your health. And may there be opportunities this week that God speaks to you and growth happens, and yeah, where there's interpersonal conflict, can draw from this and say, how do I humble myself and glorify God in this? Very difficult. But Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Amen and amen. Be blessed.